There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're going to hear now from Sir Linton Crosby, who's a veteran political strategist. He's actually an Australian guy, but he's probably made his name in the United Kingdom as a strategist for politicians on the right, people like David Cameron and also Theresa May, also John Howard in Australia, in his native country as well. The reason we're going to hear from him was because on Friday I was in Abu Dhabi at the Abu Dhabi Ideas Weekend. It's a conference that they organised with the Aspen Institute from the United States. And David Cameron was one of the speakers, and so was Sir Linton Crosby. So I sat down with Sir Linton Crosby to talk about the lessons he's learned from some of his electoral victories, such as the 2015 UK election that David Cameron won, and also the 2017 election last year that Theresa May lost. And I began by talking about the thing we were just mentioning, the so-called dead cat strategy, one of the things he's famous for. I asked him what it is and why it matters, and this is what Sir Linton had to say.
One of the challenges for a political party or a candidate is to control the agenda, because you want to fight an election or make the case for your views in a controlled environment. You want to control the agenda, you want to do it on your terms. And sometimes if you're not controlling the agenda, you want to change the terms of the debate, then I say one technique that people use is to take a dead cat, throw it on the table, and everybody starts looking at the dead cat and starts talking about that. If you're at a dinner party, somebody walked in, you were talking about an issue and somebody walked in and put a dead cat on the table, everyone would start saying, oh, it's a dead cat. And so it changes the agenda. And I made the comment, I think it's fair, that the current world's best practitioner in the dead cat strategy is currently in the White House.
And you say it's understandable because candidates have to differentiate themselves, just as Coke has to differentiate itself from Pepsi, even though they're very, very similar. So it's understandable, but it's also quite dangerous.
You've got to get tone right, because differentiation conducted in the right way is an important element of any election. For example, an election is a choice. People are offered alternatives, and each alternative candidate or party needs to differentiate itself, show itself apart from the others. It's when it moves from differentiation to division or exploitation of division that there's a risk. And as with all things, it's how you conduct yourself, the tone that you use, and the way you go about it, that's the key.
Well, if we look at some of the recent campaigns that you've been involved in, if we look at the very successful David Cameron campaign in 2015, and he's here today, then there was the Theresa May campaign, which perhaps less successful for the Conservatives in the UK more recently. What were the subtle differences and nuances? What were the takeaways for you from those two campaigns?
Well, they're completely different elections, of course. I think that to the point about differentiation and controlling the agenda, I think that David Cameron and George Osborne, who was then the Chancellor, very effectively focused on what for most British people at the time was the most important thing, the economy and economic opportunity and jobs and a standard of living and related subjects. And so they differentiated on having an economic plan and focusing on the economy. Turned to 2017, it was a different election. It was held in the climate of needing to negotiate over Brexit. Brexit was and is in the UK right now, as you know, the only game in town. So it was an election that took place with the sort of cloud or umbrella of Brexit sitting over voters. And so it was fought out in that climate and with a desire by the Prime Minister to get a mandate in relation to Brexit. But one of the differences in 2015 to 2017 compared with 2017 was 2015, people thought it was going to be a tight contest. They weren't sure what the outcome would be. Whereas in 2017, people thought that the Conservatives would win easily. And that high expectation of a Conservative win also had an effect on the way people voted, because it made them think, well, the Tories are going to win anyway. I can vote for somebody else who might be a more effective local member, or I might vote on a local issue rather than on this bigger issue that's dominating the landscape.
Let's talk about the West and the East, because you made a very interesting point that the polarisation we're discussing today, it's one of the moonshots, is in many ways a Western phenomenon. Just remind us some of those statistics that you quoted, because they paint a very vivid picture.
It's very interesting. So if you look at the view of people in the US, France, the United Kingdom, toward about the future and about whether their children will be better off financially in the future than today, they have a much more negative view. Whereas the flip side is in places like India, China, the Philippines, voters, members of the public, are much more optimistic about their financial future. So, and in a similar way, we have a polling business, and one of the questions we always ask is, do you think the country's heading in the right direction or seriously heading in the wrong direction? And in those countries I mentioned, Indonesia, the Philippines, and India, very high, over 70%, into the 80s% of people felt the country was heading in the right direction, whereas in countries like the UK, the USA, it was under 30%. So very big. It's as if these countries are a different phase of their sort of life cycle or their economic life cycle. Western developed countries are less optimistic about the future. People feel that the economy is not always working for them, whereas there remains a lot of hope and expectation of a better future for people in those other countries I mentioned.
We'll get to the UAE in a second, but one of the politicians that you mentioned is Narendra Modi, mm-hmm. in India, and some of his what seem to be extraordinary successes. First of all, remind us of the statistics you used to illustrate that, and then I'd love to get your thoughts on why you think that is, what you think he's doing it right, and the lessons we can learn.
The point I tried to make too was that yes, he may be controversial on occasion, but for his people, he's not seen as polarizing, because 88% of people have a favorable view of his performance and of him. So that shows that he's doing something right from a political viewpoint. And when you look at a lot of what he talks about, it's about economic progress. It's about electricity across the country for all of the Indian people, because something like 500 million people still rely on burning wood or cow manure or other things for heating. So he's offering people hope of something better, starting with their economic the economic framework of the country and their standard of living. I always say elections are about the future, and leaders have to be dealers in hope. So he is offering a better hope for the future for the vast majority of people of India, if those favourability numbers are anything to go by.
A couple of final questions. The UAE, you quoted the Edelman Trust Barometer, and indeed the guys from Edelman are here. Astonishing to me that the two most trusted governments in the world are not conventional democracies. Number one is China, and number two is the UAE. Why do you think that is?
Well, again, I think it's partly that people have a sense of knowing what they're going to get, a confidence that there's a plan that a government is working towards for their benefit. So they must hold the view, the people polled must hold the view that they can see, to my point earlier, that better future. And you know, the thing you would say about the UAE and China, and they're completely different countries in some, you know, so many ways, from the size to the location to everything else, is a sense of direction, clearly working to a plan, clearly linking that to something better for their people.
A final quick word on business leaders. We're a business program, lots of business leaders listening, aspiring business leaders. What lessons can you draw from your political life? And you also work with big companies. And what lesson are business leaders driving to work this morning?
The most important thing, I think, is to understand the values that drive you and that are important to you. And I don't mean sort of airy-fairy management speak, oh, you've got to have values, but people want to know what's at the core of what you do as a business, what your motivation is. They want to know that you have the right motivation and the right behaviour. So linking to the values of your target market is very important.
It's the voice of Sir Linton Crosby, veteran political campaign strategist, talking to me over the weekend on Friday at the Abu Dhabi Ideas Week.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.